Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our worship service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
A person says, "I don't understand how my friend, a highly educated man, can believe that the Bible is the Word of God." We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we return thanks to you for your revelation. We thank you that you reveal yourself in the creation. We see how almighty you really are. And in this season of the year, when we see how beautiful it all is, we give you a very special thanks. But God, we thank you that that revelation goes far beyond nature, and that it has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ and revealed and written in your word. Grant that the Holy Spirit may so open the scriptures to us that we may not only know these truths as printed words on the pages of the Bible, but living truths found in our soul. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 16th chapter according to the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 12, and Jesus is speaking, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Children,
Friends in Christ, the Bible is often referred to as God's revealed word. In the Bible, God is communicating divine truth. He is enlightening us regarding his plan for our lives and our relationship with him. It is interesting to note that the Bible and the text that we have today is telling us that that revelation is, in one sense of the word, progressive. For example, Jesus says in our text, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." In other words, I'm going to give it to you bit by bit. You don't do calculus until you've learned some of the basics of the whole area of mathematics. So it is, as we live with the Lord Jesus in his word, the Holy Spirit works and reveals to us more and more, empowering us to believe that revelation. What I'd like to do today to take this abstract statement that I have just made and put it into the concrete is to deal with a Bible passage that is well known to all of you. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When you take a look at that, now just imagine that you were a person learning this verse for the very first time. You would, without a doubt, have a lot of questions. And so you could probably learn from your own mind, but perhaps with some help from the Holy Spirit, that God loves the world. Now, you'd look around and you would see all of the wonderful things that are found in this world. The creation. Certainly the Creator must have loved his people to put us in such a glorious creation as we have here. So you could reason from that point of view that you have a God of love. Now you go on and you say that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." Why would he have to give his Son? What had happened in the world? But you learn, at least, without too many details, that God loved us so much that he gave his Son. And then he goes on and says that whoever believes in him, in other words, there would be such a thing that we would have faith. How do we get that faith? What constitutes that faith? That we believe in him, in order that we do not perish. And what do we mean by perishing? Why do I have to believe in Jesus Christ so that I do not perish? You see, you would have been enlightened with many very, very interesting subjects. And yet, you don't have the full answer. Then God says to you, as you continue on in the study of his word, "Are you ready for the next step?" Now, some of these steps we can understand. They simply make sense to others. Others go beyond what the mind can understand. But here then, in the word of God that is our text today, we learn the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and will make it known to you. In other words, he's going to take those words, make them divine truths that mold your life and make you a different person. So let's go to step two. God loves the world. Yeah, we understand that. He loves the world not only creatively through creating a great place for us to live, but he loves the world redemptively. That is, he loves us to the place that he gave his Son in order that we may be brought back into a living, personal relationship with him. Now you ask, why then did God have to give his Son? What had really happened? God created us. Couldn't he just accept us back in as his children? You have to get a little bit more specific. And if you go along in various parts of the Word of God, you read, for example, that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So the Holy Spirit begins to tell us what sin is in this divine revelation that is found in the Bible. It is not just imperfection. That would be bad enough. But sin is walking away from God, missing the mark, going contrary to the will of God. When I am born, I have inherited a sinful nature. I am not neither sinful nor neither pure. I can go either way. No, I have been born with a sinful nature. That's what the scriptures reveal again and again. The Holy Spirit takes these words, like Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin came into the world and death through sin, and so death has passed to all men. The Holy Spirit will take that word and show you who you really are. Now then it goes on to say that God is holy. In other words, God is righteous, and I am sinful. I am unrighteous. A holy God can have nothing to do with a sinful person. Sin separates us from God. In other words, God can forgive sin, but he cannot condone it. That is not necessarily what we hear in our day. Oh, God can overlook it. God winks at it. God must really be disgusted with us. But in the end, he takes us back anyway. Oh, no. No, God cannot condone sin. He will forgive it. But in order to forgive it, somebody had to pay the price to appease his righteousness. And so he sends into this world Jesus Christ. That's why he came. That's why he gave him. Now the Holy Spirit is leading us a step further. For God so loved the world that he gave. I'm willing to give the very best I have. I'm willing to give my son a part of the Godhead to come into this world to suffer and to die on a cross as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. That's payment. That's atonement. Why? Because God wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to come into a relationship with him. But he is not going to violate their will. Man still has the right to say, no, God, I don't want you. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, he has the power to receive Christ. Notice, and to those who believe in him, he gives power to become the children of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door and let me in, I will come in. But there is a place here where God is appealing to us, and he is saying, do you want it or don't you want it? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we then can receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. And what happens then? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God really does not want to damn anybody. So he sent his son. Now, if you say, no, God, I'm not going to accept your plan of salvation. I'm not going to accept your son. Then the only thing that he can say is, then you have made your own decision. But what I really want is to bring you to the heavenly home. And if you read further in the Gospel of John, for example, to that 14th chapter, those first verses, he said, I have gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But then one of the disciples said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus comes back again very specifically. Now, this is revelation. And what does he say in the revelation? He says, no one comes to the Father but by me. No one can come to the Father but by me. Now, can a human mind comprehend that? Of course we can. Can we understand what he is really saying there? No. What about all those who have never heard? I have to leave that to Almighty God. But he has very clearly said in his revelation that our salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. Then if you go on to the very last book in the Bible, you begin to get some other revelations. And only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us what this all means. And even then, there are questions. For example, in the 7th chapter of Revelation, it says, after this I looked, he's looking into heaven, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And then they asked, who are they? They are these who have come out of the great tribulation. These are the people who have walked on this earth and have trusted in Jesus Christ, for they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have come to Christ, and Christ has forgiven them. Christ has purged them of their sin. Now they live with God forever. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and never again will there be sorrow. Hearing this, a person could very well say, oh my, if I could only believe it, but how do you get this faith? I can't muster that up in my own heart. That's why I raised the question. How can an educated person in our day really believe this? It's the Holy Spirit who does it, my friend. He works through what we call the means of grace, the Word of God primarily, and the sacrament. And in that Word of God, he begins to show me that I'm a sinner. He shows me that God has loved me in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he creates within me that ability to trust him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if one is really sincere about this whole matter of wanting to believe these divine truths that are revealed, they go far beyond, not contrary to, but far beyond what the human mind can ever comprehend. Live with God in his Word, and the Holy Spirit will bring you to faith. Will all of the questions be answered before we leave this world? No, they will not. No, there will always be questions. For example, St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, now I see in a mirror dimly, someday face to face. Now I know in part. Someday I shall fully understand. Oh, the riches of the mysteries of God. How unsearchable are his ways. No, we don't have all of the answers. We have enough answers. We have enough answers to know that we are sinners and that Christ is our salvation. And then when all of these things are brought back as a part of our living and have captured our thought process, then it begins to affect where we live. For example, Dr. Martin Luther had that great experience that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We do not contribute to our salvation, not at all. Christ has done it all for us. All we have to do is, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to receive him. So Luther one day sat down and wrote a catechism. It was written primarily for children, that parents in the home could teach them, introduce them to Jesus Christ. I've used this so often on the broadcast. I use it again today. I believe that Luther was inspired when he wrote, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and a condemned creature. He has bought me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver and gold, but with his holy precious blood, and his innocent sufferings and death, in order that I might be his own. live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting innocence, righteousness, and blessedness, even as he has risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity. This is most certainly true. This was words on the pages of the Bible that came alive to Luther as the Holy Spirit opened up the revelation. And then he goes on to apply that in every phase of his life. When he was so terribly depressed one day, he read the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And then that psalm comes to a conclusion, be still and know that I am God. What did he do? He sat down and wrote, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, one of the great hymns of the church. And what does it say there? What though they take this life, goods, honor, child, and wife, their hatred still is vain, they have no lasting gain. We still possess the kingdom. See how the Holy Spirit had done his work? I think of Lena Sandahl, that Swedish Christian, who one day watched her father standing on the boat where they were in dock. The boat suddenly jerked. Her father was thrown overboard, and before her very eyes, Lena Sandahl saw her father drowned. What a horrible experience for this poor young lady who was frail and needed her father so badly. She did not know, I'm sure, what exactly life had in store for her in the days that were ahead. But they tell us that she went home and she wrote 14 hymns. Among them is Children of the Heavenly Father, which we have played already today in our program. This is the last stanza. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. His a loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. And the Holy Spirit had taken, as Jesus said he would do, those words and make them living truths. And so she could say, My father is gone, but he lives with the Heavenly Father. For that's where all of us one day who trust in Jesus will be. That's the story, friend. That's the story of salvation. That's the story that is revelation and that has been made known to us in the Holy Scriptures. You see, friend, we hang on. We hang on to what is ours. We do not understand it all. But live in the Scriptures, in that divine revelation, and Christ will come alive in your life. Amen. Father, today we pray for those who are sick and shut in. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take those divine truths and bring them the peace which passes all understanding, that they may hear from you not just words from the Holy Book, but these great truths, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. We pray, O God, that those who are in authority over us may understand that their strength comes from the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit, working through the Word, may bring them to their knees to confess that Jesus Christ alone can lead and guide us as a people. Hear our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service will strengthen you for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry. Since early in our ministry, it has been the gifts and prayers of our listeners that make this program possible. We thank each listener who has taken the time to send us a financial gift or pray for our ministry. Your generosity is a tribute to the importance of the mission of sharing Jesus Christ with as many as possible. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Pastor Larson's sermons are available to you on the website to read, hear, or print 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.